Well, I do have an opening story, unfortunately. This guy was sitting at home, just quietly watching TV, enjoying the afternoon, and there came a knock at the door. And so he got up from his nice, safe, comfortable couch, and he went and he opened the door, and there was nobody there. But he looked down, and there on the doorstep was a snail. And he just assumed some kids were playing a practical joke, so he took the snail, and out of frustration, he just threw it as far as he possibly could. 3 years later, he's again watching TV, and again there's a knock at the door, and again he goes and opens the door, and sitting on that doorstep is the very same snail. And the snail looks up at him and says, "What the heck was that all about?" See, it took the snail 3 years to... I once heard somebody, this is a step aside, but I once heard somebody complain to somebody who was telling a joke. "You know, I've heard that joke before. You need to get new jokes." And he said, his response was, "There's nothing wrong with my jokes. I need to get a new audience." So, just saying. There once was a man who approached a wise old guru and asked a question. He said, "Master, is it true that whenever a door closes, another door opens?" And the wise old sage looked at him and responded, "Yes, it's true. But also, you could just reach out and open the door that just closed, because that's the way doors work. They open and close." Our topic today is never hurry by an open door. And so we're going to hear a lot today about doors. But because I was feeling ambitious, I also wanted to talk about release and how those relate to doors. And that's why I asked Rob if he could possibly do the Bob Dylan song that we heard and we sang this morning. This notion of what I was going to talk to you about today came to me as I was rummaging online through music, trying to find music that I thought was meaningful and worthwhile, and maybe music that I could make suggestions to Rob. And one of the things that I came across was a bunch of songs that would be categorized as Negro spirituals. And this is really a fascinating collection of music. It's music that in a lot of ways was born out of slavery. Music that was composed and written and sung by slaves. And when I got into this a little bit, I was really kind of moved. I mean, here is a people that were restricted, a people that were oppressed, a people that very often were abused, a people that sometimes saw their children ripped away from them to be taken to an open slave market and auctioned off. This was a people that had very little control over their own lives. In fact, it was the slave masters who literally held the power of life and death over them. You look at a situation like this, or in a situation in which somebody is imprisoned for a long period of time, and you ask yourself the question, how can they get by? How did Nelson Mandela, who was imprisoned for 27 years in South Africa, manage to get by? And you go back and look at that situation of slavery. Literally, for generations, people were being born into that condition. And it was the only life that they ever would have known. What's there to cling to at a time like this? What does somebody who's a prisoner of war or a prisoner in a concentration camp do day after day after day to maintain some semblance of human dignity? What does somebody in those circumstances do to maintain a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning about life? And certainly your heart has to go out to anybody who has ever been in this set of circumstances. A lot of people don't. A lot of people couldn't survive. But at the same time, there were a lot of people that did survive and that do survive in these circumstances. And it got me to thinking, there's a strange sacredness to being cast into the darkness. A strange sacredness to being thrown into the abyss of life. There's something holy about having nothing. Because it's in there that there is that sense of release. It's in the nothingness that we come across the opportunity to discover absolutely everything. Because through all of the pain and the grief and the loss, a door is opened. A door is opened to the very ground of your being. The door is open to your God. One of my favorite heroes in the world is Reverend Martha Creek. And I don't know if any of you ever met Martha or have heard her speak. Martha is truly an angel, a saint. She has a kindness, a gentleness to her personality. She's embracing, she's compassionate, she's loving. And she went through a period of her life that was really, really tough. In a short period of time, she lost her father. Within a couple of weeks, I believe it was, she lost her brother. And soon after that, she was diagnosed with breast cancer and had to have a double mastectomy. And through it all, she came away whole. And you might think that, well, maybe she was just being naive and she was in a state of denial in terms of what was happening to her. But people came up to her and said, you know, Martha, this is just not fair. Something like this, these things should not be happening to the likes of you. And Martha's response was, well, of course it should be happening to me. If not here, then where? And really what happened through all of that turmoil and all of that strife that she had to endure and go through, she found an open door. An open door that allowed her to more strongly connect with the Spirit in her life. And it provided her an opportunity to enjoy a richer, fuller, more significant, meaningful wholeness that maybe she would have missed if all of these things didn't happen to her. Nelson Mandela's greatness wasn't because he was imprisoned for 27 years. And his greatness also didn't come because the day actually arrived when he was able to walk out those prison doors. Nelson Mandela's greatness is because he didn't allow his situation, he didn't allow his circumstances, he didn't allow those prison walls to imprison his heart. For many of us, and I suspect for all of us at one time or another, when things start to get tough, when things grow to become more difficult, or life just becomes hectic, we tend to go into that place of we think about anything other than our relationship with God. Because we're so focused, we're so concerned about the pain and the hurt and the anger and the illness and the frustration and the fear that we become preoccupied with those things, and understandably so. But when we go to that place and we allow that to happen to us, what happens is we tend to walk by a lot of open doors in life. And so we tend to not see things like the miracle of a rose or a thunderstorm. We tend to lose sight of our own inner light. We tend to become blind to the incredible vastness and splendor and majesty of things like the vastness of the ocean or a giant tree or an incredible mountain range. We hurry right by the door where God is waiting on the other side, always, always, always so eager to connect with us. And the really ironic part about it is that if we would take the time and grow in awareness and actually cross the threshold to that door, then all of the things that are bugging us, all of those things that are eating away at us, all of those things that are bringing hurt and pain to us would become meaningless. I want to share with you a quote by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who wrote the book on death and dying. "The most beautiful people I've known are those that have trials, have known struggles, have known loss, and have found their way out of the depths." Well, this finding her way out of the depths that she is speaking about in the quote is the affirmation of the release that is always available to us, because always, always, always there is an open door. And I want to share with you another quote. This is from an Olympic athlete who won the gold medal for the triathlon in 2008. His name is Brian Clay, and he said, "You know, you take yourself to a place where you've got nothing left. And then you find out you have to push yourself one more step. That's a tough place to be in." Ah, but that one step that he's talking about, that's that one step across the threshold. That one step where you come into contact and into communion with the very ground of your being. The power of those Negro spirituals that I talked about earlier is that there's an underlying thing that despite all the pain and the grief and the loss, there's an awareness that there's an open door. And there's a knowing that through that open door will come that release in which I'm talking about. And that there's an affirmation that it is nothing other than God that is providing those open doors in our life. Well, all of this is pretty inspirational. Well, at least I hope that it is. But, you know, for those of us sitting in our room, in this room today, certainly a lot of us have known a lot of difficulty and pain and strife and rejection and all kinds of icky stuff that have gone on. But none of us have ever been really slaves, at least not in the classical sense. And most of us have not known prison life. And in fact, most of us are getting 3 square meals a day. And most of us have the luxury of climbing into our cars and taking ourselves anywhere that we wish to go. And most of us have felt some joy in at least being able to spend some significant time with the people in our lives that we love, the people in our lives that we really care about. And most of us have some source of income and some relatively decent standard of living. So what does all of this have to do with us? Well, the crazy, really ironic thing is that the good life, more than anything, can cause us to walk by those open doors and never even take a peek at what might be on the other side. And there's a gospel story that relates to what I'm talking about. It's probably the single most popular parable, and that's the parable of the prodigal son. And most of the time when people hear about this, their mind immediately goes to the younger son, the son who goes to his father and says, "Hey, I just want everything that I've got coming to me because I'm out of here." And actually, that part of the story does have some bearing on what we're talking about, because as a consequence of his decision and his actions, and he goes off into the world to enjoy the good life, and then he loses everything, and he's wallowing in squalor in wishing that he could eat some of the slop that he ends up feeding to the pigs. It's when he comes to the realization that he needs to cross over through that open door that will bring him back to the loving, embracing arms of the Father. But really, I want to focus a bit on the other part of the story, on the second son, the older son in the story, the son who stayed at home and did everything that he was supposed to do. And when he hears about the return of his brother, and when he hears about how his father went out to meet and greet him, he is really upset. He's just really vexed at the whole situation. And so they have a sit down, the father and the older son. And the older son, in effect, says to the father, "Hey, remember me? I'm the one that never went away. I'm the one that has remained here and did everything that I was supposed to do day in and day out in my life. And never once did you slaughter an animal for me or throw a big bash party on my behalf." And the father says to him, "Yes, you have always been with me. But everything that I have ever had has been available to you." And what he's saying, in effect, with those words were, you never really came through the door and entered into a relationship with who you are and the inheritance that you are entitled to in your relationship with me. Why are you so upset? You know, day to day we are living this thing called life. And whether we are up to our necks in problems and we are enslaved by the difficulties in our lives, or whether we are sailing along smoothly and enjoying the good life and enslaved by our own complacency, we share the same challenge. Because whether the experiences in our life are overwhelmingly bad or they are overwhelmingly good, it is our own mindset that determines for us whether we are living in freedom or we are living in slavery. Just as dollars and cents never really are a good measure of poverty and wealth, so slavery and the good life never really are decent measures of freedom or bondage. And so where you lie on that spectrum between being enslaved and being really free and happy is a function of where your mind and your heart are. Well, of course, there's work to be done. There's always work to be done. And if any of you are sitting there reacting adversely to that phrase, "there's work to be done," then guess what? There's work to be done. I mean, think about it. If you want to win the lottery, at the very least, you have to buy a lottery ticket. Every flower that ever came to bloom had to first push its way through the dust and the dirt. And if you want to have your vessel of life be filled with all of the things that are really, really incredibly significant and important, things like joy and happiness and peace and comfort and compassion and love, you have to do the work first of emptying the vessel to make room for all of that stuff. It's your divinity that will fill the void that you create by cleaning house. It's out of the nothingness that your preciousness, your inner light, your beauty, your Christ self will be born. Well, I've been throwing around all kinds of metaphors this morning and a lot of metaphysics intermixed in through the whole thing. And we have to also come to grips with the realization that anytime you pass through an open door, there is always a sense of adventure, but there is always a sense of risk. And so I think we really have to close this thing out with yet one more metaphor. Because if I'm sitting there listening to what I'm saying this morning, I might be having the reaction of, yeah, I understand. Don't hurry by an open door. You see an open door, have the courage to go through it. I don't see the open doors. I mean, really, where are they? I look and I look and I look and I don't see them. And so my response to that this morning would be, maybe you have to have a different starting point. Maybe you have to focus first on one door to open. Because it all starts with opening the door to your own heart. Because the doors in life are there. I promise you they are there. And if you could work up the strength and the courage to open the door to your own heart, I promise you, your God, the very ground of your being, the whole purpose of your life, is there waiting for you. So we're going to take this to prayer and meditation. And I sprung this on Rob at the last minute this morning, literally. And I said, do you think you could do just the opening verse of a Negro spiritual?